The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. Running her mouth, she wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They make the plans, we sit and count our chests. I was gonna start with something along the lines today of weak spots on the Green Bay Packers and all the different waiver claims that they put in. Obviously did not get all after roster cutdowns earlier this week. And maybe we will get to that here in this first segment, too. But every Friday, I jump on with our friends, Wisconsin's Morning News, 620 WTMJ. And I never quite know what they're going to have for me. Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's nonsense. And they told me that there is a new survey from Talker Research that apparently 8 in 10 Americans are too tired to cook when they get home from work. Which
I saw that.
Which is kind of like, I mean, come on, man. Like, I mean, how many of us are actually working in the factory, doing manual labor, doing a job that's actually tiring, right? But then the thing that blew my mind, they were then running through, Eric Bilstead's running through some of the numbers. 1 in 5 people have fallen asleep while making dinner.
What?
That's what I'm saying. I don't understand. I can't wrap my head around this. I have, since he said those words out loud, I haven't been able to think about anything else for the last 10 minutes. That 1 in 5 people have somehow fallen asleep while making dinner, according to this new survey from Talker Research.
How many people have fallen asleep at work? I can raise my hand.
I mean, that's probably
what I did it right on the radio. Right when I was on screen.
I was right next to him. I can't confirm.
Joshy, did you know that?
No, but it comes as zero surprise to me.
If you had to guess.
So we were doing a draft show during COVID, right, Gabe?
Yep.
And they had me on way too late. It was like 9:30.
It was our fault.
That, as I say, that sounds like Gabe's fault.
Yeah, no, it's definitely our fault. I will fully take.
So we're sitting there.
I'll take blame for this. On a Thursday night, having Chewy on at 9:30, that's a bad idea.
Yeah. So all I remember is I'm waiting for Gabe, and I forget who else is doing the show with you, to come out of break. And I nodded off, and all I heard was my wife saying, "Mark, you're on the air. You're on the air." Did you even know I was asleep, Gabe?
Yeah. I had a screen in front of me. I looked down.
You did?
Oh, yeah. It's a pretty easy thing to spot when somebody's falling asleep. Because much like now where you're down in Florida, I'm here in the Gruber Law Offices, One Call, That's All Studios. We were in separate locations. You know, for that, I was back at our old studio. You were just doing it from home because, again, COVID and all the things that were going on. So we were just having you over the video stream. Like, I had a screen like I can look down at right now, see you plain as day. It's easy to spot when somebody in one of your hosts is falling, you know, one of your co-hosts is falling asleep. You look down and like, oh, he's sleeping.
That was priceless.
Yeah.
That was priceless. But like Joshy said, that's on you guys.
Oh, yeah. No, should have known better. Even in 2020, which we established, our birthday of this show is tomorrow. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy are going to be turning 4 years old tomorrow. The original iteration of this show with just me and the big guy, you've been doing this for 5 years now. But at that point in 2020, I should have known better. That's on me. I would take full responsibility.
That's all right.
When it comes to falling asleep, making dinner, the only way I can fathom that is the baking portion. If you're putting something in the oven and going to sit down.
Yeah.
Because how are you falling asleep standing up?
Yeah, like stirring whatever sauce you're trying to make. That seems impossible.
And I have more than one time popped an old pizza after a long night out, but that's not dinner. That's second dinner.
Yeah,
and
right. Well,
asleep.
So that's the other thing. They said, you know, you pop a pizza in and, you know, I love Palermo's as much as the next guy. I absolutely love Palermo's here on 94.5 ESPN. But is making a frozen pizza really cooking? Does that count?
It is heating something and making food.
No.
When I think cooking, I think you're standing in front of a stove.
Yeah.
an oven, you're like mixing, doing stuff. But I guess if you want to encapsulate.
But Joshy, today, it's not even really cooking. It isn't. It's like heating up food. Like my mother, because we had six kids and we needed fillers. So
not only did they have six kids, Chewy was the runt of the litter.
Yeah. We had mashed potatoes probably three times a week. Now, these weren't the mashed potatoes Bob Evans you buy and pop in the microwave. This is go down into the 50-pound bag of potatoes and peel them and cut them up and boil them and then drain them and then mash them.
You got to get the cream in there.
Milk, butter, and then there you go. Now it's just, let's see, 3 minutes. 3 minutes. Oh, God, I'm going to fall asleep. I'm so tired.
Well,
come
on, but
what are we doing?
But also, like, mashed potatoes from a box is, that's bad.
What, Bob Evans? Are you kidding me? Those are delicious.
No.
You ever had them?
Yeah. Like, have I made mashed potatoes from a box? Yes, I've made mashed potatoes from a box. Have I made mashed potatoes? Yes. Which one's better?
Bob Evans?
No.
Yeah.
You're telling me that Bob Evans, the little powder that you put in there and add water and somehow get mashed potatoes is better than homemade mashed potatoes?
No, this is in the tray. They're already mashed.
You're talking like frozen TV dinner style?
I'm out. Yes.
No.
I see. I see what he's talking about here.
Yeah.
And it is just with the little cellophane on the top, poke a couple holes in it.
Peel it back. Yes.
What are you nuking
it? What about the noodles?
Are you
noodles? Yes.
You throw it. No.
They're delicious.
Nothing out of the microwave is as good as something that's freshly made. I will stand on that. What's better out of the microwave?
Hey,
you tell me what's better out of the microwave.
My mother grew up with a spice cabinet that had two things in it.
Well, that's
salt.
Yeah.
And pepper.
I mean,
that's it.
If you know what you're doing, you don't need much more than that.
But you know what I'm onto now?
Paprika?
You take the Bob Evans, you heat it up. No. And I want you to try this. You ever have wasabi mashed potatoes?
No.
No.
Try it.
Little kick with the mashed potatoes.
It'll change your life.
I don't think I would have to convince my wife very hard to try wasabi mashed potatoes. Like, hey, what if I add a wasabi to this? She'd go, yeah, go for it.
Oh, with a steak? Are you kidding me? A little cream corn? Ooh.
Wait, so what else are you making in the microwave that you somehow think is better than if you made something fresh? And don't use your mother as an example, because obviously, you know, again, if she was only using salt and pepper, if your son, who is, you know, he's not a chef, but he's very good at cooking, use him as the example when you're thinking of something.
Okay.
Like, would you rather have the Bob Evans potatoes or your son's potatoes?
I'd probably rather have Dylan's.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Because Dylan can cook.
Yes.
I'll give you another one.
All right.
Gabe? Wednesday's usually sandwich day or panini day or something along those lines.
Okay.
A little back off before the push to the weekend. Try Panera broccoli cheese soup. It'll change your life again.
Okay.
That's better than anything else out there. It's better than any restaurant I've ever had.
Wait, so are you going to Panera, or is this just like something
No, they have it in the grocery store.
Like a canned?
No, it's
contend that's the best broccoli and cheddar?
Josh, see, here's the thing. You can't question me if it's the best if you haven't had it.
I've had more Panera broccoli and cheddar soup than I can fathom. Gallons of it.
And do you think it is outstanding?
I think it's pretty good. I don't think it's the best I've ever had.
It's the best I've ever had.
And it's especially not the version that you go pick up at the grocery store.
But here's the thing. And I appreciate, if I'm leaning towards one way or the other here, Joshy, no offense to you, but I'm leaning towards the man who needs to have a super salad with like every meal. Like this man has probably tried more soup. He's definitely had more soup than me in my life. I can tell you that.
I had dill pickle soup the other day.
I consume more broccoli and cheddar soup than I think 99% of the population.
Broccoli and that's like a staple.
Yes.
In your household,
a consistent staple.
Do you make it yourself, or are you just trying broccoli and cheddar soups from?
I do not make it myself. Someone in my house might make it.
Mussolini.
Notice,
Here's the problem.
Notice how the nickname, when we're talking, suddenly we're talking about something she's doing for him, and the nickname was Holster.
My lovely better half.
No, here's the problem with cooking your own broccoli cheese. You can't get the cream to cheese ratio right. Never, never. They never get it right. If you have homemade broccoli cheddar soup, the ratio is never correct. Panera nails it every time.
Yeah, I mean, they're making it a mess. But if Josh's girlfriend is making it enough, I'm guessing she's kind of nailed the. I'm guessing she's nailed the cheese to cream ratio.
I've never had a homemade broccoli cheddar soup where it's knock yourself.
Sounds like a skill issue.
I haven't made it. I'm just telling you, I've had it before. It's too bland. I don't know if it's hard to cook.
Is your girlfriend's the best broccoli cheddar soup you've ever had, Josh?
You know, I haven't because I'm not.
That's
like
a
chewy.
No.
I
haven't. Hold on, hold on. Gabe.
Yep.
The delay there was a no.
Look, I haven't power ranked them.
It's a yes or no question. He started by saying some sentence to try to delay a little bit. Yeah, no, it's a no.
I, unlike Chewy, don't power rank everything I consume, see, or...
Maybe you should.
Let me tell you what.
Maybe you should.
So I hadn't considered the power ranking.
It drives Angie insane. She's like, why do you have to power rank everything? You know what's a better way to go than the highway? Take Blue Mound, get off here. It's better.
It's the number one. It's Chewy's
number one power ranked way.
I power rank
Chewy
everything.
So routes to restaurants that they go to.
I've also had like multiple versions. She's made many different. Like she put little spins on them. So there's certain versions I like a little more than others.
It is what she makes better than Panera.
Yes.
So next time she makes it. I'm assuming it keeps well. It's a soup.
Yes.
So the next time she makes them, can you spare a bowl and bring it in for the big guy?
I could. I don't know how much of a fan she would be of Chewy than going on the air trying to be pretty good, not better than
Panera. I'll be honest. Like Panera's? Hold on. Panera's creamy tomato soup? Terrible.
Not better than Campbell's right out of the can?
No. All right.
The thing with Panera.
All right, hold on, Josh.
It's super
Campbell's,
consistent.
Campbell's. Water or milk?
Milk.
Yeah, it has to be milk.
No.
Has to be milk.
You're putting water in your tomato soup?
No. Yes.
Okay. Well, now,
Now
you can't be trusted.
Hold on. Here's the thing. You put water in it, and then you take a little cheddar cheese from the refrigerator and sprinkle that on. Try.
Why can't I just do milk and then cheddar cheese?
Too much. The ratio.
Nine.
See, you guys...
Water.
You know what you guys are? You're fancy city people. That's what you are. You're fancy city people.
I grew up on the marsh.
You can't spare a cup of milk.
Fancy city people using milk instead of water in the Campbell's tomato soup?
Yep. Fancy, bougie city people.
We'll put it on the poll. I guess we don't give Campbell's.
No, I know I'm going to lose, right? You can put it on anyway. I know I'm going to lose, but I will take 30%, and that is a victory.
I'll put generic canned tomato soup.
Canned tomato soup. Yeah, we don't need to keep shouting out Campbell's.
Nah, I mean... They're like a megalith.
Hey.
I mean, at this point, I mean, Campbell's is like Kleenex,
the
right?
The real winner's
like,
Panera here.
Yeah, that's true. Panera's getting a lot of runs today.
Much like our second guest today, I wasn't a silver spooner. Clearly, you guys were silver spooners, okay?
I grew up in a duplex in McGonagall.
McGonagall is legit. I've been there. People are moving out there.
No.
Oh man, oh boy. We've got a couple of arrogance things apparently we have to add to the list from a couple of people on the talk and text line. Mike saying sounds like soup arrogance. Jared saying sounds like city arrogance.
All right, I love it.
A lot of people coming to Chewy's defense here.
Water is so preposterous.
We'll ask Jason, we'll ask Craig, we'll see what other people have to say when it comes to soups. Plus, because you know, we've got Jason coming up next. We will dive into that green and gold team up north as Jason Wilde joins us next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Before we get to Jason, a couple of texts I want to get to here, Chew. First from Linda in the Falls. Chewy will sprinkle cheddar cheese in his tomato soup, but he won't dip a grilled cheese in it?
It doesn't hold. At least the cheese will melt in the soup when you heat it up. If you're dipping grilled cheese, it's not spongy enough.
And then Adam says, Chewy, these bougie city people, probably using $7 organic milk. All we need is tap water, baby.
Thank you.
He is our friend. He is our teammate. He is Jason Wilde. He joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Jason.
Never know what I am supposed to expect on a dude day. Jeez.
Jason,
would
you... Go ahead.
I'm on your team, bro. Paula made this tomato soup with milk, and it was disgusting.
Yes.
And she did not... She did not like that I called it puke soup, which did not go over well. But it was gross. It looked like somebody had maybe done some refunding. So I put oyster crackers in my tomato soup.
Okay, saltines was the staple.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Crumple up saltines, oyster crackers, yeah. Same thing.
Yep. Is that a meal?
No, that's not. That's. It's like a side, right? Like you go to like Panera, you pick two, you got to get a sandwich or something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, tomato soup's not hearty enough for itself to be a meal.
No.
All right, I'm glad we agree.
Jason, will A.J. Dillon play another snap for the Green Bay Packers? And the only reason I don't say the NFL is because nobody wanted him to begin with during his little tour of free agency. But will he play another snap for the Packers?
I don't think he will. I think this is the end of the line for him. Now, whether or not he is deemed healthy enough to play, you know, he had that post yesterday on his social media, but didn't really bring any clarity to what's going on. He's not required to post on social media his MRI results and x-rays and CAT scans. I'm not saying that, but I still don't understand exactly what the issue is. I don't know if he'll be in the locker room to discuss that at any point. I don't want to bother him by trying to reach out to him right now when he's trying to figure things out. But maybe if he's cleared someday and we get to the bottom of what this issue is, maybe some team will take a chance on him, you know, on a minimum contract deal. But like you said, he did not generate really any major interest on the open market, came back to the Packers, and it just sucks. Like, I don't know if you had guys that you remember that, you know, were really in good spots to kind of, I don't want to say resuscitate their careers, but certainly do some things after maybe having some downward turns in their careers. And he came in phenomenal shape. It wasn't just platitudes that you say about guys. And they did have a legitimate plan for a role for him. And they were talking about how he was going to be, you know, more of a move guy and use his versatility, plus lining them both up in the backfield, him and Josh Jacobs together. I mean, you know, I know some people kind of suggested this at the time, and I don't know if they were joking, but during the offseason, you know, when they lost Josiah DeGuara, there was this idea that maybe A.J. Dillon could fill some of that responsibility, and I think those folks were right. I do think that that was going to be a component of his game, and now they don't really have anyone that fits that suits on their roster.
Jason, the assistant coaches spoke yesterday, and Rich Bisaccia was a name that was brought up when we talked to you yesterday. You were excited to talk to him. What did he have to say?
Well, I'll say this, and again, I wasn't in on the conversations that went on behind closed doors, obviously, but he did not sound like someone who fought for Anders Carlson to keep his job. He repeatedly said that they weren't getting the level of consistency that they needed, and then at one point said, you know, he had a year and a half to basically show us that he could be consistent, and he didn't do that. So, you know, I really thought, and I know I took some grief for saying this on the Homer Hour, that, hey, you know, I understand that you know he can also miss any kick at any time, and he proved that with the miss he had at the end of in the fourth quarter of the game on Saturday. But you know he can hit kicks. I mean, he started the season, I think, 16 out of 16 last year. We went from wondering if he was ever going to miss a kick. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And now he's not even employed by the team. But I really thought that maybe Rich Bisaccia would take the, you know, we benefited from Daniel Carlson being cut by the Vikings prematurely. And this idea that maybe somebody else was going to benefit from Anders being cut. And when I brought up Daniel Carlson, he flat out said that's a totally different situation. That the Vikings cut him basically after three games. And Anders had a year and a half to develop consistency, and he didn't do it. So for a guy that I thought would have defended, a guy that, let's be honest, he surely pushed for in the draft room, both Goody and LaFleur acknowledged that after the draft last year, he did not support his guy. And he clearly sounded like he was on board with moving on.
Jason, what's the schedule for Brazil? When are they leaving? How long do they have to be there? Is the NFL mandating that they're there 4 days earlier? What's
no,
the schedule?
They're leaving Wednesday. So they had this practice last night at Lambeau Field from like 7 to 9 because they want to get, I guess, acclimated. And I think, what time is kickoff in Brazil? I think it's like 9 p.m. Brazil time that they're kicking off.
Oh, is it really?
I think so. I could have that wrong, so Josh, fact check me. But that was like LaFleur's idea, was to have them practice last night. So now they are off tomorrow. That's like the Tuesday of the week. Mm-hmm. And then Sunday, Monday, Tuesday are like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of a normal week, and then they're going to fly out on Wednesday, and then I think they're just going to do, obviously, some walkthrough stuff on Thursday in Brazil, and then play the game on Friday and fly back afterward. So it's a long flight, but it is not any different than a typical road trip in terms of, I mean, they're going a little bit early. It's kind of like going to the West Coast a little bit early, I guess. That's the closest mm-hmm. I can compare it to, but that's it. It's nothing special for them.
And then weather-wise, it's not. It's their winter. Is it their winter or spring down there? So it's not going to be oppressively hot, I don't believe.
Yeah, I my training is in sports journalism, not meteorology, but I can. I do think it's pretty warm there. Again, I don't. I'm curious. You know, when I look at the way their training camp went. You know, I remember years of covering you and the teams that you were on, and then after that, subsequently, when it just felt like it was hotter than HE double hockey sticks out there. And then you had to go out there again at 2:45 for another scorcher of a practice. And, you know, I just remember, you know, the pickle juice and all that other ridiculousness that you guys used to do back in your day.
Yeah.
And they had maybe one really hot day during camp. So if they're going to have to face that, I don't know how well prepared they are for what it could be. Right now it's 68 degrees and sunny in Sao Paulo. The forecast for Friday is 80 degrees.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought it'd be fine.
Humid. Yeah, but probably humid.
Jason.
I don't know if it's a dry heat or not. It ain't Arizona.
Yeah.
Jason, they clearly didn't want to play this game. Like, when this was a possibility, it seemed like they were coming up with every excuse under the sun not to go there. Well, I mean, our airport's too small.
Yeah.
You know, it's just too small. And there's logistical issues that'll be, you know, competitive disadvantages if we end up getting selected for this game. They end up getting selected for the game anyway. We know Matt LaFleur did not handle the last international game all that well. Are they making adjustments? Do you feel like their plan in place and the way that they're handling it is better than when they went to London 2 years ago?
Well, he's bellyached about it less publicly than he did with London. Whether or not they're actually, like, they have a better plan in terms of sleep schedules and all the other stuff, that I don't know. Now, I am curious. We do not have our media access schedule yet for the week. I know, like I said, Sunday will be like a Wednesday. But as far as, like, are they practicing later in the day? What is their, you know, are they adjusting their routine based on this road trip? That I can't answer yet. But I don't think the attitude about this is any better. I don't get the sense, whereas remember when Rodgers was, you know, publicly saying how they, you know, needed to embrace the trip and go early and go do all the fun stuff, go to a pub and watch a soccer game and everything else when they went to London. I have not heard many guys in the locker room talking about how excited they are about going to Brazil and experiencing Brazilian culture and all the things they want to do that are touristy, which, again, as we've talked about since the very beginning, the things that I had heard from multiple people was that they weren't leaving the hotel. And I don't know if that's an NFL mandate or not, but I know that there were some thoughts of, well, what are we going to do when Brazilian media folks ask what you thought of your trip to Brazil? And we have to say, well, the Westin was really nice. I really enjoyed the heavenly beds. Like, I don't know if there's a genuine enthusiasm. The consistent theme that I have heard, which is true, which, and by the way, I totally agree with this, is I'd rather play the Eagles in Brazil than play them in Philly.
Well, so,
at least, you don't have that home field advantage you got to deal with.
With A.J. Brown yesterday, in his media availability, said they had a meeting and there were a whole bunch of don't do's while you're down there. So he just said, after hearing all that stuff, he's probably just going to be staying in his room.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, unless you're in Minneapolis and some crazy, wacky morning show host decides to try and trick everyone into thinking that Brett Favre had a girl in his hotel room the night before the game, there's probably not going to be a whole lot of hijinks going on in Sao Paulo. Remember that?
Oh, I remember. But I wonder, Jason, when we went to Tokyo, they gave us a handler. So if you wanted to go out, you would have someone from the country with you because the cabs would not pick you up if it was just me, Brett, and Frank. So we'd actually kind of have to hide behind a tree.
Too.
No, this is true. We'd have to hide behind the tree. The handler would flag down the cab,
what
and then we'd
mean
run out and jump in the cab.
Behind a tree? You and Frank are hiding behind trees?
People in their cabs?
Yeah, they wouldn't let us in. Well, we were hiding behind Frank.
All right, now that makes
no, but
more
that's
sense.
I wonder if that's they're going to do something like that. So
I honestly don't think they're leaving the hotel.
I really don't.
This is not. They're not going to Rio de Janeiro. I don't think they're going to go out clubbing. I think they're going to all be kind of because also I'd be curious, and I haven't gotten to ask guys about this yet, but like I'd be curious how many guys' families are going down there, right? Like. If you have a kid on the team, and let's be honest, all these guys are so young, all their parents are, you know, roughly my age or a little bit older, I would think that, you know, most international games, you'd be excited to go and see your kid play in a foreign country. And I don't know how many of them even have their parents making the trip.
Jason, appreciate the time. 1 week from today, Packers kicking off the regular season in Sao Paulo. We'll talk to you next week, bud.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Tune in to the Analysis Show each and every week, presented by Gruber Law Offices. Thanasis Dedekumbo hangs out with special guests for fun and even surprising conversations. Maybe it's his live show with Giannis, the chat that he had with Green Bay quarterback Jordan Love, getting the inside scoop on fighting with Logan Paul, or any other one of the unique guests TA had on his show. Find the Analysis Show on Apple, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. Plus, you can subscribe to the Analysis Show on YouTube. to see exclusive video content from Thanasis. The Analysis Show, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
It's Friday, and that means it's time to check in with GKB President Craig Karmazin.
Gabe, you're right. I actually just looked at the stats. No hypocrite has ever won a championship.
Fridays with Mo.
Mark Attanasio, the last thing he wanted to do was play a video and tribute Craig Council in any way. So I give Mark Attanasio a ton of credit.
Craig Karmazin on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is sponsored by Landworks Landscape Services. Their creative and talented team will design, build, enhance, and maintain beautiful landscapes in southeastern Wisconsin. Learn more and see their work at landworkswisconsin.com.
It's
always love catching up with Craig Karmazin, founder and CEO of Good Karma Brands. Good morning, Craig.
Good morning, guys.
So our boy Joshy, we haven't talked about this yet, but Joshy tonight is going to be a part of Wisconsin College Game Day. He's going to be down there in Madison getting ready. And Craig, for years, you were a part of that, whether it was, you know, you were the man on the street back when it was Badger Blitz and then became Wisconsin College Game Day. Do you have any advice for Josh about being a part of Wisconsin College Game Day?
I guess what I would say is, if you are doing the show right, tonight's show will be as the Alabama show.
As what? You kind of cut out there.
Tonight's show will be as good as the Alabama show if you are doing the show right.
What are you, insane?
No. I mean, because that's
playing?
The point.
I don't even know who they're playing.
That is the point. The majority of people who are going to the game, who are listening to the radio, are exactly like Chewy, and me, by the way, who have no idea who they're playing. And if you're trying to do some show that's like breaking down like the quarterback and middle linebacker, then you're totally missing. And so just, you know, so if you're trying to do an entertaining show for week one, you're going to hit it. And then if all of a sudden they're playing Alabama and you think all of a sudden you need to be like doing the all 22 and breaking down the middle linebacker, then you're wrong. So ultimately, my advice for the show is make it fun, because Badger fans love their team. They love the excitement of game day, and the show should exude what it's like to be in Madison on a college football game day.
How are they going to be this year? I mean, I know they got a tough schedule. They got some really good games at home. Alabama, Oregon, and is it USC they have at home too?
Mm-hmm.
No, they're at USC.
At USC.
Penn State. This is a crazy schedule. This, like, they could be so much better than last year and have a similar record to last year. I mean, this is such a cool season for Badger fans, because I mean, there's nothing to compare it to, is there? I mean, I was trying to think. The closest thing this reminds me of is Marquette's first year in the Big East. And that year, they ended up having an incredible year that was like kind of came out of nowhere with the freshman year of Dominique James and Jarrell McNeil and Wes Matthews, and obviously Steve Novak supplying a lot of the muscle there. But, I mean, this is such a cool season that I think Badger fans need to embrace this team from the beginning.
In terms of atmosphere, where does, because that's the one thing I miss most, Craig, about working and being in Madison, is Badger football game days. Because I don't think that the atmosphere, like, I've been to Lambeau, obviously, a bunch, and it's fun, it's great, but it's not the same as it is in Madison. Where would Madison Badger football game day rank for you in terms of game day experience?
I mean, it's up there, but it's not where it was, and it's because now I think the fans in the stadium are not particularly good. I think the in-stadium experience from a fan standpoint is now pretty mediocre. I think Badger fans have such high expectations now that they're like almost ready to like roll their eyes at what's going on in the field.
Do they really? Have high expectations.
Have you gotten to a game?
I mean, no one expects them to beat Alabama. No one expects them to beat Oregon. And then you have a bunch of games that you can. I mean, Penn State.
No, I'm
really?
Saying Penn State's the top 10 team in the country. I mean, and I'm saying those may be unreasonable expectations for Badger fans, but the, you know, the feeling around the city of Madison is as good as any, right? You can put it right up there with all the SEC environments, with Ohio State. You know, I'm not going to put Michigan anywhere near there. I don't think it touches the environment of the best teams in college football that I've been to. But what I've found in recent years is the Badger fans, we know they're late arriving, especially the students, and it's just not a particularly loud crowd anymore. And again, maybe that's a spoiled thing. Maybe, I don't know what it is. It's just maybe alcohol in the stadium now for the first time this year, you know, right, will change the mood of the crowd. But it has not been a particularly loud football crowd for a long time.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, the jump around gets celebrated.
Yeah.
But I don't think this is, you know, play in, play out, third down, mid-first quarter, I don't think it's as loud as other, you know, as Iowa. You know, and Iowa has less people in the building, right? Like, I don't think, you know, when I'm in the building, the crowd is as loud as it used to be, and the crowd is as loud as comparable teams in the Big Ten.
Well, is Fickell on the hot seat? Not yet?
No, I don't think so. And I think with NILs, you can change the roster so quick that I think everyone knows Fickell's a really, really good coach. He's not on the hot seat.
Do we need to have a conversation about how we are as football fans in this state? Because everything Craig said about the in-game experience inside Camp Randall feels eerily similar to the way a lot of people talk about the in-game experience inside Lambeau Field. Like,
see, I think the Packers fans, you know, sometimes I'm more critical of the Packers than other people tend to be, but I think when I hear you say that stuff, Gabe, and we say, like, oh, the coach has to tell us not to do the wave and all that, like,
well, they've got, Craig, did you see that? They've got a new video that they put out there because the team,
awesome.
Because the fans were doing the wave when they were on offense during the preseason game last week. And they've got a video of Jordan Love telling, hey, let's save that for when we're on defense. They have a video that they put up there for when people do the wave in the
right,
stadium.
But that's because, I mean, we know Packers fans go beyond sports fans, right? Like, there's someone at your office who's wearing Packers earrings right now who you know doesn't know, you know, what, you know, how many yards it takes to get to a first down. I mean, that's the beauty of what the Packers are. They go way beyond sports in this state. So I think the Packers environment is incredible. Is it that each Packers fan is so intelligent about the game of football? Like, no, that's impossible when you have every single person in the state love the team as much as they do. So I don't think that's about I think it's the environment's so incredible. I think it's just you have a relatively diverse mix of intelligent sports fans and people who are just there for the party.
But I just said earlier in the week, if you consider yourself a diehard Packer fan, love the Packers, you dress head to toe a lot in Packer gear, you should have to know 15 people on the team. Like, the Blammer is the biggest phony. He claims he loves the Badgers, watches them. He couldn't name one player on the Badgers right now.
Right, and that's a lot of what sports is, right? It's your identity with your state and your community. So all of those people aren't sports fans in the way that we are, and I don't think you can kill them for it.
No, you can't kill them, but they got to understand that they're joiners. I have no problem being a joiner, but just call yourself a joiner.
Yeah, they're there for the party, and they're there to support the team.
Yeah,
but I just don't think you have to put your values of being a sports fan onto them. They're just not a hardcore, nerdy X's and O's sports fan. They can love the game, enjoy the experience, love the community, love the all of it. I mean, I think you're trying to put your values onto them. Now, are you going to say they're the St. Louis Cardinals and they're the most educated sports fans? No.
Well,
but it makes the, in my mind, it makes it a more, you know, a more community fully supported team.
I mean, the best fans in baseball were just, you know, giving away tickets for $1 this past week. So, you know, let's calm down with the St. Louis Cardinals best fans in baseball BS.
I'm gonna keep saying that until I find another fan base in baseball that surpasses it. I haven't found it yet.
Craig, what position group worries you the most for the Packers when we are a week away from their first game? What gives you concern?
I would say the position group is the. Are you allowed to have a position group of the backup? You know, I think this team, you know, they'll figure out the offensive line. To me, they can figure out every single thing going on with this team. It's just about Jordan Love being healthy. And by the way, if they miss a few kicks and it costs them a game or two, it's okay. This team is on the rise, and this team is going to be good this year. So to me, this year is about health, you know, health of Jordan Love and him continuing to get experience and us not assuming that he's Jordan Love against the Dallas Cowboys, right? He still hasn't seen everything. It's his second
year. But I was going to ask.
Craig, it's not okay if he misses, if we miss a kick that costs you the division. I'm expecting this to be a tight race, so every game is going to matter because I expect it to be a tight race with Detroit at the end.
I don't know what's really the difference if the kick costs you the division. Is like, do we know that that doesn't give you a better matchup? Or I'm saying if they make the playoffs, and you know, I don't think they're the one seed, right? I think if this team makes the playoffs, there's going to be things that are going to be up and down. What I mean is this the youngest roster in the NFL again this year?
It's very close.
How good this is.
I think they're younger than they were last year even.
Right? I mean, I think I heard you say like Preston Smith's the only person over 30 and the roster is younger than last year. So, I mean, this is such an incredible space to be in if you're the Packers, and let's not put unfair expectations. Even if you believe Jordan Love is second behind Mahomes of who you'd want to have to start a team right now, it's still his second year starting.
But let me ask everyone this. Jeff Hafley doesn't even know what he has on defense right now.
Correct.
He didn't show anything in the preseason. You can't do it on in a walkthrough or in mini camps. He has no idea. Well, I will say no idea. 30% he has no idea what's going to happen here. He doesn't know what he can play. He doesn't know if Bullard can play center field and have range to bring McKinney up in the box. He doesn't know how good Devontae Wyatt is going to be against the run. He has no idea. There are things he does not know because they don't address them in training camp because they're so covert.
Chewy, so and you're saying even when like because when I watch training
Agree?
Camp. I feel like they're going so hard, but you're saying even from that you can't tell, or because they're being too vanilla? Like, is it because you don't go hard with tackling, or because you're not showing your scheme?
He doesn't know if McKinney can blitz, you know, like Leroy did back in the day. He's not sure.
But why doesn't he know?
Yet.
He has years of film on him, and he
because he hasn't
camp.
He has you because they don't do anything in training camp.
I mean, they do it. I mean, when I watch training camp, I look at these guys and I'm like, they're going so hard. Are you saying that's not hard when I think they're going hard when I watch practice?
Yeah, it's not hard. It's not hard. And thud today
is
different than when we have thud. A linebacker is not filling a hole in training camp the same that he's going to fill a hole in the regular season.
What I would say then, Chewy, is I think all of us don't even realize how good these athletes are. Because when we watch them, like if you go up close in training camp, they look like they're really getting after it. And if you're saying that's nothing, that's unbelievable to know what these guys actually do in an NFL football game.
Well, Chewy, you've talked about that when I don't know if you were hurt or there was one game where you were like on the sideline, then you actually started paying attention to what was happening on the field and realizing how fast everything was going.
Yeah, I mean, the games are like, so... Yeah, the games are 100% speed. Training camp now is probably 70%. It's just different, you know? Your mindset is different. Craig, it's different when you're running down the middle of the field knowing
McKinney
that you're not going to get
McKinney
hit.
You know McKinney can play, and you know he's going to be...
I know McKinney can play.
You don't know if he's going to be the best player on the defense, but you know he's going to be second or third if he's healthy through the whole year.
So right now we're blaming everything on Joe Barry last year. They sucked against the run because of Joe Barry.
Look, I don't know. I mean, part of it Joe Barry? Yes, because he could get manipulated into light boxes. Is some of it potentially personnel? Absolutely. Like, I haven't taken that off the table. Like
That's what I'm saying.
But I'm saying McCaffrey had a big second half and had a big game, and they didn't stop them, and they scored a game-winning touchdown. But with Barry, they were a possession away from the NFC Championship. So I just think we're talking about, even if they're not so much better, but just incrementally better, it puts them right in that conversation to be competing for a championship.
Sure, I agree. I agree with that. But winning the championship, That's a different story, Craig.
I don't think you can, like, I think if this year you say the goal is to be in the mix to play in a championship game,
yeah.
I think that's a realistic goal for this young of a team and all that. Now, does it mean it could pop like the 2015 Royals or the 2011 Green Bay Packers? Like, sure, a season can pop out of nowhere that you don't expect. But I don't think it's realistic to say, hey, this season's championship or bust.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Craig, appreciate the time. We'll talk to you again next week.
Go Badgers on Wisconsin.
Again, you can catch Joshy tonight. Wisconsin College Game Day starts at 6 o'clock right here on 94.5 ESPN.
He's the perfect example of just a toad. A toad. Go Badgers, go all this. He couldn't name three players on the team for credit, and he'll be decked out in Badger gear.
Yeah, because the Badgers are a partner. Badgers Athletics is a partner of ours with the rights we have with Wisconsin Volleyball.
Yeah.
It's a partner.
You talk about
Craig's supporting
of the
a partner.
Day. He is Baskin-Robbins, 32 flavors. What's the flavor today, Craig? Oh, the Badgers. Yes.
Are you looking for a are you looking for? Because here's the thing. Like, you're more comfortable going after Craig than I am. True or false? Okay, he's walking away. If you're looking for a better used car interest rate, Ewald makes it easy to save thousands during the used car rate reduction event, where you can get rates as low as 4.9% on Ewald Automotive Group's best used cars. 4.9% on over 600 vehicles at 10 locations. Increase your purchase power with a better used car with the name Milwaukee has trusted for 60 years. They've been making it easy for 60 years, so take advantage, and you have to race to your local Ewald because this deal ends August 31st. All you need to do, though, is go to ewaldauto.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Look, you take Jesus and the presence out, and it's not even in the top 10.
Well, I mean, yes. I mean, if you take sex out of the anniversary, then that's not that fun either.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Chew, I know you don't watch a ton of baseball, but I'm telling you, if there's anybody out there who's not paying attention to this Brewers team, you are missing out. Because they are pulling off stuff that you don't even see in the Little League World Series. They had a play yesterday, and it's, I mean, if you played Little League, if you played a level below that or whatever, you know, you always have these first and third plays where you're trying to steal a run because, you know, there's two outs, so you're trying to get that runner in from third, and they had William Contreras on third base, and I forget who, I think it was Willie Adames on first.
Correct.
And Willie takes off, there's two outs, Willie takes off trying to steal second, but then comes to a stop so he can try to get in a pickle, and then Contreras can score from third. And sure enough, it worked. Like, they've done that a handful of times this year. Like, I literally have not seen this play work the way it has since Little League. Like, they're pulling off Little League crap, and it's working, and it just brings me so much joy. It's hilarious. They are fun to watch.
So,
man,
let me ask you this, Gabe.
Okay.
Let me ask you this. How are they supposed to address that? The opposing team. Is it you throw it to the second baseman who comes in behind the pitcher and then get him in a pickle and eyeball third base? Or how do you defend that?
Yeah, so there are a number of different ways.
Because wasn't it back in the day in Little League when the guy on first stole second, the second baseman cuts in front of the bag and then throws the guy.
Yeah, you
out
can do that
home.
If in Contreras, because it's, you have to know who's on third base, right? Like, if it was Jackson Churio or Bryce Turang, two of their faster players at third base, I doubt they even throw down. I doubt they throw down because the second they let that go, you know, the guy from third is going to be barreling home and it's going to be tough. So you throw through, and your hope is that you're able to, you know, when you have two slower runners like that, that you're going to be able to get Adames before that. And they just, I mean, I don't know how many teams even rehearse this because, you know, you have signs for it. You have ideas of what you're going to do. But I don't know how much, just like bunting in today's baseball, like how many guys are actually working on bunting because you don't bunt anymore. Like, these plays haven't been used since you were 12, 13 years old. And it's again, hilarious to just sit back and watch it actually work.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times they just seed that runner to second.
Yeah.
And say, good luck, we're going to work on the guy because there's two outs. We got a guy at the plate. We're getting him out. That's the goal. You are giving up a runner in scoring position, but
But let me ask you this. In baseball, are teams checked out already? Like, San Francisco has no chance of making the playoffs. How do you keep those guys motivated? Because my fear is this, Gabe. When they get a little closer to Philly and the Dodgers, are the teams that they're going to be playing at the end of the year who have no chance of making the playoffs, are they just going to check out? Because that doesn't really happen in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, sure it does. I mean, it's not the length, you know, but the last couple of games, if you're on a bad team, you've talked about how when you first got to Green Bay, guys would have that vehicle packed before the last game.
A vehicle packed.
You know, yeah. I don't know how you prevent that. You just have to hope that everybody stays professional. And again, what a lot of these teams, and we talked a little bit about this with Sophia on Wednesday, that when the roster could be expanded in September up to 40 game or up to 40, like, you're bringing up a lot of young guys, and those young guys are getting those opportunities. They're hungry, and they, you know, they want to play hard to show that, hey, I belong up here. And now that you can only, you know, the roster's currently 26, you can go up to 28, add one pitcher, one hitter. You don't have that as much. So you just have to, guys, hope that people stay professional and are still trying to put their foot out there. That's about all you can do. You're like, there's no. Are there teams checked? Like, I mean, the White Sox have been probably checked out for.
You never checked in.
Yeah.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, when you're 31 and 104. Game on yesterday.
I tuned the game on yesterday, and it was 6-0, and I'm like, I'm not going to watch this. This game's over because San Francisco could care less, and they're not coming back.
Yeah, they're not coming back. I mean, and teams do that. Even good teams, when, you know, they'll check out the last three innings of a game. You know, okay, you throw a position player or whatever. But I'm telling you, last month of the season, everybody out there, watch the Brewers. What are the weak spots on the Packers roster? Let's dive into that coming up next. 2 minutes, Jen, Gabe, and Joey.